This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَالَّذِي يُصَوِّرُكُمْ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ La ilaha illa huwa al-azizu al-hakim. Sadaqallahu al-azim. First, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the lovely rain which He sent to us. A little bit cold, but it's winter, so we shouldn't complain. And I'm sure that we get some more reward for coming to the masjid on such a cold day, mashallah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give that the rain be a blessing for us. Because rain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can turn rain into something disastrous also for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that the rain and the weather be a blessing, inshallah, for all of humanity. I think all of us need Allah's help. We are all in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. We are all in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. We all need Allah's support. All of us have our own needs. And every day we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to satisfy those needs. And many a times, Allah doesn't satisfy the needs the way we want Allah to satisfy the needs. Sometimes we ask for money and Allah doesn't give us. Sometimes we ask for health and Allah doesn't give us. Sometimes we ask for whatever we ask for and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't seem to be giving us what we ask for. And why is it so? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what we need. We want what we want, but Allah knows what we need. So maybe we ask for wealth, Allah doesn't give us wealth, because Allah says, no, this man doesn't need money, he needs health. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you your health. Sometimes you ask for health and Allah gives you wealth. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly what you need. Allah knows how to satisfy your need. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after all, He created you. He's closer to you than your mother and your father. As I said, Sayyidina Ali said that if he should choose who should reckon with him on the day of Qiyamah, who should deal with him on the day of Qiyamah, he said, I will not ask my parents to reckon with me. Because Allah is more merciful than my own mother and father. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is closer to us in our jugular vein than the blood that is pumping in your heart. That is the one who knows, the one who created the heavens and the earth. And I referred last week to the fact that the Voyager 1 has now gone to the theoretical extremities of the earth, which is not 2 billion miles away. It is 200 billion, sorry, Mab, I said 2 billion. It's actually 200 billion miles as this thing traveled over the last 35 years. That is only the universe that we know. Beyond that, there is another universe. I mean, there is the bigger universe. What the Quran talks about, the expanding universe. So that is our ilah. That is the one who we believe in. That is the one that we put our trust in. That is the one that we love, and we know all this because of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If it wasn't for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we would not have known Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah didn't send anbiya, we would not. So our love should be and our respect and honor for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Why am I reading it for you? After all, you know this. We read it every day in our salah. But why? What is important about this salawat? What is important about this salawat is that when Allah revealed the verse, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah. Sahaba asked, the companions came, said, Ya Rasulullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has now revealed, Allah and His messenger, Allah and His angels, they put salawat on you. Oh, you people who believe, put salawat on Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So obviously the next question is, what do you think is the next question? What is the next question? What is the next? What do you think the Sahaba asked? How must we put salawat? Manner. Like when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the salah, how? He asked Jibreel, how must I make salah? Jibreel has to teach him how to make salah. There's no such thing as I just know. No, people say, how do you know? Like the children will say, how would you ask the child today, why did you do this? They got this famous word that they say, because. Why did you do that? Because. Just that's it. That's the whole sentence. That's the end of it. Because. Also, because. Why? Because. So every act that we have, there's no such thing as I'm born to know. You have to learn to know. You have to have a teacher to teach you how to do things. And I think one of the surprising things I find when I'm in Cape Town is everybody's become an alim. I'm not saying this with a smile on my face and I'm not saying this with a joke. This is true. People come to me and they ask me, Sheikh, what is this? And before I can give the answer, they say, but it's this, isn't it? They say, they ask the question and say, it's that. That's it. They give you the question and they give you the answer. So the Nabi sallallahu, what do you think Nabi sallallahu said? How must we put salawat on him? He said to the Sahaba, say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim wa barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alameen innaka hamidun majid. So if you want to, when we are commanded to put salawat, for example, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whosoever puts one salawat on me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put 10 salawat on me. Now you ask a question, what must I say? You must say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim wa barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alameen innaka hamid. Of course, we've added a whole 3 hours of whatever we do to put salawat on the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we say to the Prophet, okay, you said that, but you know, we must know better. We will do it this way. You taught us that way, but we will do it this way. This is our way of doing it. We love you so much, we will say, we will put praise on you, you never even dreamt of. And this is the instruction in Bukhari and Muslim of how we should put salawat on the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is our expression of our love for him. And why did he make it so short? Because he didn't want, he said, I don't want my ummah to raise me, to elevate me to the level that the Christians elevated Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. That is why. So today, and as I started, I said we need Allah's help, we need Allah's support. All of us have our own issues that we have to deal with. Where do we get the support from? Where do we go for the support? Where do we go for this help? How does this help come into our lives? Today, inshallah, we will endeavor and try to explain a name of Allah in the Quran. Just the name. Allah has 99 names. Today we will talk about just one name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That name appears about 95, nearly 100 times in the Quran. And that name is Al-Aziz. Al-Aziz. Now Al-Aziz, if you read the Quran, you'll read the Almighty. Subhanallah. I promise you, I could speak to you for at least an hour on the word Al-Aziz. Now Al-Aziz, and what is the meaning, what is the intention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having 99 names? Think, why does Allah have 99 names to describe himself? Because every name has a function, is a tool that a Muslim uses to interact with Allah and to interact with his environment and the dunya in which he lives. And these 99 names, the objective of these 99 names is to save us from spiritual slavery. You know, the Catholics, with all their might and their power, they're spiritual slaves to the Pope. Not to God. Why not to God? Because the Pope, they say, is the representative of Jesus, who is God. Ma'adallah. So whatever he says, it's as if it is revelation from God himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us 99 names to rid us, to save us, min riq ad-dini. A riq ad-dini means spiritual slavery. That we should ever bend our souls to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, if you look at the salah, every time you make an action in the salah, what do you say? Allahu Akbar. Except in one instance. When you raise yourself from the ruku' position, you don't say Allahu Akbar. You say Rabbana lakal hamd. Now you think, well, you know, that's how it is. Every action in Islam, every saying, every word, you can write a book on it, and it has a deep meaning for your salvation and happiness in this world and the after. Now, why don't you say Allahu Akbar when you come up from the ruku'? Why do you say Rabbana? Of course, Sami Allahu liman hamida. Sami Allahu liman hamida means Allah, hears the one who praises him. Say, Allah, hears the one who praises him. Rabbana lakal hamd. Oh Lord, to you belong all praise. For what? Suddenly we must praise Allah now. For what? What do you praise Allah for? I'm speaking slowly so that you will drink in this point. So you, even if you just take this home today, it's enough. Why do you thank Allah when you come into the straight position? I repeat. Why do you, when you come and stand up straight, you have to say, I thank you, Allah. Because Allah, you are the only creature whom Allah has created who can stand up straight. On 2 feet. There is no other of Allah's creation who walks and stands on 2 feet his whole life, straight up. And why must you thank Allah for that? Because it also means that you never bend your back to anyone but Allah. Because you have thanked Allah for making you, to honored you. Allah has honored you. لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. We have honored the children of Adam. We have honored man. That is why when the Muslim army conquered Persia, the Persian king asked the Muslim commander before the battle, what have you come to do here? Why are you going to wage war against us? What is your problem with us? He said, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and Allah sent the Quran to take man min ibadatil ibad ila, that our struggle is to take man from the worship of the servants of Allah to the worship of Allah. So Allah has honored us. Great honor that Allah has bestowed upon us. Al-Aziz. And I said today I'm going to speak about one of the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, namely Al-Aziz. So next time you read the Quran and you come across the word Al-Aziz, stop. Ponder. What does this word mean? It has three meanings. Alladhi la nidda lahu, al-ghalibu alladhi la yughlab, and alladhi yu'azzizuka wa yuqawwik. There's three meanings. Imagine this one word has three meanings, al-aziz. It means, first, the one who has no equal. Allah has no equal. Secondly, al-ghalib, the victorious. The one who always overcomes, it can never be overcome. So if you attach your wagon to Allah, you'll never be overcome. You'll always be victorious. الَّذِي يُعَزِّزُكَ وَيُقَوِّيكَ. He's the one who gives you honor, respect, power, makes you strong. Your strength comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you know Allah can take it away tomorrow, then it's gone. So we should all be عِبَادُ الْعَزِيزِ. We should all be the servants of He who is ever victorious, has no equal, and honors us and strengthens us. Now, how do we see Al-Aziz when you look around us? Where is Al-Aziz? How do we recognize Al-Aziz? The victorious one. The one who has no equal in power, in might, in honor. The Almighty, as we say. We refer to Allah, Al-Aziz, we say the Almighty. And Al-Aziz is always connected to another word in the Quran. Al-Aziz al-Hakim. Al-Aziz al-Rahim. Why? Al-Aziz, this victorious, powerful Allah, always tempers His power with either Hakim, with wisdom, or He tempers it with Rahim, with mercy. Let's look around us. And I like always, you know, to turn my eyes into the galaxies. I'm fascinated. I'm really very fascinated by what is up there. Many people are fascinated by what is down here. But I'm always fascinated by the stars and the heavens and reading on what the new discoveries that they make. You've read about the Boson Collider there in Switzerland. I know very little about it. I'm not a physicist or a scientist, but we live in extremely exciting times. Very exciting. And why is it so exciting? Because all these things are confirmed in the Quran. The Quran that was sent nearly 15 centuries ago confirms these modern, highly technical, sophisticated research that is going on at cost these countries billions and billions and billions of dollars. We have to take interest. Why must we take it? Because we have to strengthen our iman. We have to be sure that when we make salah, Allah accepts. We have to be sure that when we die, this Allah is waiting for us on the other side. We have to make absolutely sure. We can't. If we dilly-dally, then our salah is not right. Our fasting is not right because we're always thinking maybe, maybe not. You have to be absolutely with yaqeen. You must know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. So we don't know how many galaxies there are. We don't know how many stars there are. They say that the stars is as numerous as the sand on the earth. And why is it that we don't have our own collision, stars bumping into each other all the time? And why is it that the sun, the earth revolves around the sun? Why is it that we never get so close that we burn out? Why? Because of physics? I mean, the explanation is because we revolve like that, so in the revolutions, we keep our distance because the force of gravity keeps things apart. Gravity pulls things together, and also, if it's in motion, it keeps things apart, keeps it at the same distance. But because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah Al-Fatir, 35th Surah, verse 41, Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُمْسِكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَن تَزُولَ. Allah says, it is Allah who holds the heavens and the earth, so that they don't move away from each other. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirm 1500 years ago? Yes. There is a distance between the stars and the planets, and it is Allah who keeps that distance. وَلَئِنْ زَالَكَ مِنْ أَنْسَكَهُمَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنْ بَعْدْ أَنَّهُ كَانَ حَلِيمًا غَفُورًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if they move from their places, none can bring them back to their places. Verily Allah is oft forgiving, most forbearing. So it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear brothers. So these scientists and physicists who tell us all these things, we smile and we say, yes, that is our ilah. That is Allah that we believe in. Now, Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he once asked Allah, he said, Ya Rabb, kayfa la ta'khudhu kasinatun wa la nawm? He said, oh Allah, why is it that slumber and sleep never overtake you? Why are you never overtaken by slumber? After all, you know, maybe everybody needs a bit of a break, bit of a snooze, as they say, you know. So why is it that, you know, you never slumber and you never sleep? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Musa, tonight, stand with two glasses of water in your hand. Each hand you stand with a glass of water. But you must stand like that for the whole night. Of course, Musa in the middle of the night, he became sleepy, fell asleep, and both glasses fell out of his hand, broke, and of course, that was the end of the experiment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, see Musa, if I should slumber for 1 second, 1 millisecond, that is what will happen to the earth and the universe. Everything will just crash into each other. And there'll be a complete collapse, and the universe, as you know, it will come to an end. وَالشَّمْشُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرٍ لَهَا ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the sun goes in its orbit. And why does it go in its orbit? Because Allah has decreed it so. Allah the Almighty, Allah the Victorious, He has decreed it so. And you know, the sun, the earth goes around the sun in an elliptical orbit, not round. If I had made the sun and the moon, I would just make it a normal orbit. No, it goes in like an egg shape. So when it reaches the middle of the egg shape, it's closest to the sun, isn't it? It reaches the point of the egg shape there, then it's furthest away from the sun. So the earth, when it comes here, closer to the sun, the chances are, and of course, there'll be no more earth left. So what happens is, when the earth comes closer to the sun, it increases its speed by itself. It goes faster, then it slows down. And when it comes back again, yeah, it goes faster, and then it slows down. SubhanAllah. And we know this earth hasn't got a driver. There's no driver with no license that drives the earth and says, well, I must now increase my speed when I come here. No, no. This is from Allah. This is Taqdeerul Aziz al-Hakim. This is the one of Qadr. This is the one who created it with power and imbued it and gave it all these qualities. SubhanAllah. Can you imagine? I mean, we sit here on earth in the Jummah on a Friday, sitting on top of Mother Earth, you know, and this thing is moving with us. We don't even feel it all around, and sometimes it picks up speed. We don't feel it. It's like sitting in a modern airplane, you know. We don't even realize that one of these Boeings, we don't know if it's going at 600 kilometers an hour, 1,000 kilometers. We don't. We have our drinks in there, our food. We go to the bathroom. We sleep. The same with the earth. That is what man created, so we can imagine. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. So give a thought. Just give one thought about where I am. Where am I on this earth? What is happening to me all the time? And who's controlling all of this? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at the sky. If you want to know about Al-Aziz, look at the sky. الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَنِ مِنْ تَفَاوُدٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He is the one who created the seven heavens, one on top of the other. مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَنِ مِنْ تَفَاوُدٍ. Allah says, and you will not see in the creation of Allah any fault. Perfect. فَرْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ. Then what does Allah say? Look again. Allah says, okay, you looked once. Do you see anything? So Allah says, فَرْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ. Look again, says Allah. Return your gaze to the heavens and the earth. هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورٍ. Do you see any fault? ثُمَّ ارْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ كَرَّةً. Allah says, look again. So Allah turns our attention all the time to studying our universe in which we live. Why? Because it makes our iman strong. يَنْقَلِبُ إِلَيْكَ الْبَصَرُ خَاسِرًا وَهُوَ حَسِيرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your sight will be thrown back at you and you will just stay in wonder at the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now as I said in the beginning, we ask Allah for so many things and yet we don't seem to be getting what we want. You know what I'm talking about. And sometimes you get the opposite of what you ask. Oh, Allah doesn't give it to you. Maybe Allah gives it to your son or your daughter or your wife or your neighbor or somebody, your friend. You ask for wealth and your friend becomes very rich. You're a poor man, but your son, mashallah. So you ask for money, Allah didn't give it to you. But your son becomes a multimillionaire. He looks after you. Money was good for him, Allah said, not for you. But we want quick fixes. We want to go to somebody who, when we ask him, he must do it immediately. Or we want to go to a special person who we know can give us that. Some people say, you know, there's some of the walis, some of the awliya, they have different functions. If you're in prison and you want to get out of prison, you go to that wali. He's buried. I don't know which one it is. I'm not going to say. You know better than what I know about these things. I don't know much about this. They say if your son is in prison, you go to that wali that's buried there. He is the one who has got contacts inside Paul's book. Somehow he's got contacts. I allow, but this is a very serious matter. People believe this. If you are ill, you go to the other one. He's a good doctor. He's a good doctor. People believe, not only here in Cape Town, it's not, you're not unique. No, there's nothing unique. All over the world. You go to India, they'll say, don't go to that one. That one is for health. That one is for this. This one's for this. This. They're all specialized in the different functions which they perform. But Allah, I always say, you know, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So let us look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered the prayers of his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet went to Badr, he went not to fight a war. He went to intercept a caravan. Goods coming from Syria. And they had previously taken their caravan. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we're going to now take their caravan. But of course, when they came to Badr, they discovered that Abu Sufyan was there with an army and there was no way that the Muslims could turn back and flee. They would be cowards. They had to stand there. They had to stand there. Their ground. 313 men, 1,000 on the one side, 1,000 on the other side. What did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do? What could he do? Appeal to who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what did Allah do? Did Allah drop machine guns from heaven? Or armor? Or whatever it may be, that because it's war. I mean, if you ask for things in war, you want weapons. I mean, the Palestinians ask for weapons and we send them food and money. Or somebody comes and asks you for money and you say, he's a half a brute. I mean, the man needs money. So he puts a half a brute on the corner and you say, see what they do. But the man didn't ask for half a brute. You gave him a half a brute. He wanted the 20 cents. You don't want to give him a 20 cents. So Allah, the Prophet put up his head and said, Allah, we are in this terrible situation. 313. Some of them were children. I mean, 14, 15 years old. And Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab were 7 feet men, you know, Abu Sufyan. They were big guys. They were warriors. They were the warriors of the Arabian Peninsula. This was the American army at its best at that time. What was the first thing Allah did? What do you think Allah did? You see, that is why you must put your trust in. Only Allah knows. Nobody knows. Nobody else knows. Not your sheikh, not your imam, not your maulana. Nobody knows what you need. Only Allah knows. Guess what Allah sent first? What was Allah's help at Badr? You'll be amazed to know that the first thing Allah sent in help was sleep. Surah Al-Anfal, which is the 8th surah, verse number 11, Allah says, إِذْ يُغْشِيكُمُ النُّعَاسَ أَمَةً مِنْ Allah says, and He covered you with sleep and slumber as a security for you. Now can you imagine? You got an army on the other side of 1,000 men. You ask Allah for help, Allah put you to sleep. La hawla wa la quwwata. Why? Because Allah knew that an army needs rest before it can go into battle. The first thing an army needs is to be rested. Allah knows the art of warfare. You don't know the art. Allah knows everything. So the art of war, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for 3 hours they slept because Allah protected them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they all were overcome with sleep. Only one person was put on guard. And he said he fell asleep nearly 7 times. The sword fell out of his hand. So when they woke up, after 3 hours, the 313 men, they were full of vigor. I mean, we know this in life. You know, you take a short, you're tired, you take a short nap, and after that short nap, it's a referee dunya. Even if it's just half an hour of a short nap, you know, an hour. Say, look, I'm just going to take a short nap. When you finish there, you're done there. MashaAllah, you know, ready for the world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all natural. You see this, the nature, the fitrah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is done naturally. The second thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to help him was a dream. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Al-Anfal, again, 8th Surah, verse 43. إِذْ يُرِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنَامِكَ قَلِيلًا Allah says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and when you slept and you dreamed, I showed you in your dream that the enemy was but a few men. I made it seem as if they were but just a few guys. No problem. They were just little. Not many. Allah says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I had shown you in your dream that they were, you would have been discouraged. And you would have then disputed with your men either to leave and go back to Medina. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah gave him a nice dream. You know how it is to have a nice dream? You dream of your parents maybe. You dream of the Jannah maybe. You know, it's better than £1 million. Makes you feel better than anything. You get up and say, you know, I just dreamt of my mother, subhanAllah. I just saw my father, subhanAllah. I just dreamt, you know, about the Jannah, subhanAllah. Well, I had this beautiful dream. I was in Makkah. I was making tawaf. La ilaha illallah. Even if someone had given you £1,000, you'd not have felt better. So Allah gave first sleep. Then Allah gave dream to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Thirdly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says again Surah Al-Anfal, verse 11, وَيُنَزِّلُ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً لِيُطَهِرَكُمْ Allah send rain. The same rain. Allah send rain. Now how can rain happen? I mean, you ask me the question. How in heaven's name I think in my small what will happen? Subhanallah. But the rain that fell on the Muslims had a different effect, because the rain obviously fell on the non-Muslims as well. Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, they also got rain. But the rain that fell on the Muslims was a different rain. It had a different effect. The rain that fell on the Muslims where they were, it hardened the soil. It made the soil hard, so they could stand on it firmly when they fight. And the rain which fell on the enemy, Allah made it. The sand became muddy. And they were on camels, of course. So the camel got stuck in the mud from the rain. SubhanAllah. These were the forces which Allah Aziz. There's the rain. SubhanAllah. There's the rain. That rain which Allah has found us in. Can you imagine this rain coming down on Badr? And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is there, and the earth becomes hard, and he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his final, this was not the real, what you call the support that we would give to somebody who asked for help. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inni mumiddukum bi alfim min al malaikati murdifin. The last word I don't know what it means. I know what it means, but I don't understand why it is like that. So it's something that you can look up and think about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Muhammad sallam, I am sending to you 1,000 angels. Decent malaika, 1,000 angels. Murdifin. But Allah says, Allah describes how these angels will come. Now, if I was thinking about an army of angels, I would think they would come maybe in rows of maybe 50 each or 100 each. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends them in a line, one behind each other. I don't know why. I was trying to think why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them in succession. Army normally fights like that. But Allah sent the angels to come in a straight line to help Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these are the forces of Allah. Rain, sleep, dreams, forces of Allah, the force of Al-Aziz. And what a shame that we are unaware of these forces. So when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, look at what happens to you from the moment that you ask. See what changes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings you, even if it's just a dream. Whatever it may be, Allah answers your call. Allah answers this in a way that is beneficial to you. You may not know it, but it's beneficial to you. Same with the battle of the trench. Battle of the Khandaq. Same with the battle of the Khandaq. There was 10,000 men on the other side of the trench and 4,000 men on this side of the trench. And the Prophet had given up hope of ever winning this battle. This was going to be the end. What did Allah send? First, Allah sent the cold. Another, one of the armies of Allah. Allah sent the cold. Cold weather. Cold weather made the disbelievers so cold that under the command of Abu Sufyan, he said, can't stand the cold. Too cold. I'm sure you had the same feeling this morning before you had to get out of bed for Fajr. Too cold. Oh, now you even had to come for Jummah. The Takhazam, cold. Ya Allah. Sometimes it's so cold, you know, you don't want to move. You just want to sit under the blankets in one spot. Isn't it so? Now you can imagine even in the open and it's so cold. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ رِيحًا وَجُنُونًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا. Allah says, and we send wind and an army which they were unaware of. So these are the armies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends. And so the sacrifices that we make for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to the... Remember, in 1,000 ways that he is totally unaware of. disconnected, maybe unconnected to what he has asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, this is a short introduction to Al-Aziz to connect us to the universe, to put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to know that Jannah awaits us at the end of the struggle. This was the belief of the Sahaba alayhi wasallam. They believed that there was Jahannam and they believed there was Jannah. It reminds me of a qissa of Abu Dahdah, one of the Sahaba of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He narrates this. He says, this man, Sahabi, he wanted to build a wall around his garden. But his name, when he came to a certain point of the wall, there was a tree that belonged to his neighbor. And he wanted to make this wall around the tree. So he went to his neighbor and he said to his neighbor, sir, I would like to buy this tree from you. Please tell me how much you would want me to pay you for this tree. So the neighbor said, I will never sell this tree to you. Don't sell this tree. With my tree, I'm not going to sell this tree to you. Somehow or other, he had to build the wall around this tree. So eventually he went to the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Said, Ya Rasulullah, my neighbor, I asked him whether I can buy the tree from him. And he's refusing. I'll pay him whatever he needs. So the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam called the man. Nabi said to him, please, I am the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pulling rank a little bit. Please, you are a slave of Allah, he's a slave. Sell the tree to him, what's your problem? No. Sell the tree to him. Give us a command, sir. No. May man of Hamas, sir. Even as a Quran of Quran. Adali dinasuk. There were people like that in the time when you saw. You would think, you know, anybody coming to the Prophet and the Prophet gave an instruction, subhanAllah, people will say, yes. So, no, Prophet said, please. He said, no, I'm not going to do it. Prophet said, whatever you want, money, whatever you, I will give to you. No. Not going to do it. So the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to him, okay, I tell you what. Sell him the tree. And I promise you a tree in Jannah. No. Don't tree Jannah. This is my tree here. Don't promise me things in Jannah. I want this tree here now. Okay, man. I tell you what. You will be with me in Jannah. Just sell him the tree. No. It's my tree. So he left. The man left. Both left. But the Sahabi was sitting there in the masjid and he was listening to this conversation. And he went to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, if I get it right to buy this tree from this fellow, will you give me also a tree in Jannah with you? Nabi said, yes. Because Nabi thought, if I couldn't do it, I mean, what's the chances of you going to do it? So he went to the man. He met the man in the marketplace. He said to the man, I want to buy a tree. He says, what? You want to buy? He says, you know me? He says, I know you. Mashallah, you're a mashallah. You know, one of the rich men here in the city. This man had a plantation of 600 date trees. 600. The biggest plantation in the whole of Medina. So he said to him, I will give you my plantation for this one tree. He said, really? He said, yeah. I'll give you my plantation. This man is well known for the plantation, the dates he produces. Mashallah, this man is a mashallah man. One of the richest men of Medina. He said, I will. And he called the people. He said to the people in the marketplace, I want you all to be witness. I'm offering him
My home.
Except, says. All witness, right, all witness. So every man has got a price, eh? So he goes to his orchard, goes to his wife. He says to his wife, pack up, pack up, pack up, pack up. Pack up now, 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 pack up. Bring the children. Pack up with the children. Wife says, what? Says, I've sold the garden. Says, for what? He says, for 1 3-inch onion. I said, MashaAllah, you got 1 3-inch onion? Ma, let's go. He says, tell the children, look at the wife. Ma, look at that wife. Our wife says, what? I'm not leaving here. Imagine you go over and tell your wife, I've just given this house away to Sheikh at the masjid. He says, what? Come, we must leave now. This wife said, MashaAllah, my husband, 1 3-inch onion. Told the kids, come, let's go. They were outside the gates. The one child had dates in his hand. The mother opened. The mother said, no, no, date doesn't belong to you anymore. No, no. Throw it over the wall. Character. Character. Look at this. So he went to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, done, deal is done. I bought the tree. I gave it to the man and I gave him my garden. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, while you were gone, Jibreel came to me and showed me hundreds of thousands of trees which Allah gave you in the Jannah. Not one, hundreds of thousands of trees which Allah, of course, it means that he will also be there. And his good wife will be with him. And he said, Abu Dahdah lived in poverty for the rest of his life. Living on what? On the fact that he knows it. Death is going to come and after death he's going to go straight to Jannah. So that is the yaqeen that we get when we read the Quran with understanding. When we come across Al-Aziz and we look at the world around us saying, yes, this is the truth. This is the object. This is what we must live for. This is the love that we should have. This is the barakah that we must know that whatever is here is temporary. And whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us is permanent. والله تعالى أعلم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.